Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The path of peace, walking the Western Front way with a permanent home, without a permanent home, excuse me, a wife or a job, and with no clear sense of where his life was going. Anthony Seldon sent out on a 35-day pilgrimage from the Swiss-French border to the English Channel. The route of his 1,000-kilometer journey was inspired by a British soldier of the First World War. Here to tell me more about the 1,000-kilometer journey is the author of The Path of Peace, Anthony Seldon himself. Anthony, good morning to you.
Very nice to be on, and thank you so much. And it's an amazing, amazing walk.
Yes, I mean, this is, obviously, I'm talking to you from Spain, and we're known for, say, things like the Camino, the famous walk that goes takes you across northern Spain to Santiago de Compostela. But this is a walk that I've never heard of, but seems to have, I would say, a huge emotional significance.
Yeah, I think that it will, in time, rival, indeed, in perhaps even numbers, but of course never in history, the amazing Camino walk, which is famous throughout the world. It's a different kind of walk, this, and it's in a different place. It's a 1,000 miles nearly to the north. It's a Northern Europe walk, and it's along another pilgrim pass along the Western Front, which was 1,000 kilometers from Switzerland to the North Sea. And a soldier 100 years ago had an idea, and he said, look, after this terrible war is over that killed 20 million people, can we not have something good to come out of it, a walk along the line of no man's land between both sides, along which every man, woman, and child in Europe can walk as a reminder of the futility of war. And that was his message. And that idea lay buried for 100 years until I found it when writing another book a few years ago. And immediately I just thought, this has surely to be created. We need, not least as Britain is leaving the EU, we need ways, sadly, I think, but others will disagree. We need to find ways of renewing our deep, deep friendship with Europeans, and indeed those from the 100 nations, amazingly, who fought in the First World War. So that's it, and it's happening. And I urge everyone listening to pick up your togs and join us.
How did you find out about Alexander Douglas Gillespie, who was the young man 100 years ago who came up with the idea of, is it the Via Sacra, which is a beautiful name for it?
Yeah, that was his name. And so I was researching another book and going through archives, and actually my co-author found it and said memorably, I think you might be interested in this. And indeed I was. I mean, he just sensed that it would appeal to my wish always to make things happen, to try and help make the world a better, more peaceful, more loving, caring, responsible place for everyone of all ages to live in. And it's an amazing idea that uniquely, apparently, of all those soldiers who fought in the war, he had the idea for a tree-shaded, he called it, path of nature along the twisted metal and broken bones and decaying bodies of no man's land, to have something beautiful flowering in its place, along which people can walk, you know, maybe for a Sunday afternoon, maybe for a day, maybe for a week. It takes probably 5 to 6 weeks if one's going to be walking it, so one can spread that out, or cycling. There's a cycling path that's being created also It's wonderful. And it's there, and it's in the interests of this soldier, a via sacra, path of peace he wanted. But he also said it's not. He didn't want a via dolorosa. He didn't want a path of sadness. He wanted a path to energize and renew people the way that only pilgrimages can, as the Camino for so many who walk along it find that desperately needed spiritual renewal in our weary and stressed out lives.
Yes, it's interesting, wasn't it? Because in a world where we are bombarded with news, information for good, bad, or indifference 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is a need for people to disconnect and take time and slow down. And a pilgrimage does that in every sense of the way. And it reconnects you, A, with nature, because you're at a walking pace, but B, something else happens, which you touched on at the beginning, Anthony, which is it's not only the kilometers that you walk and the external exertions, but it's also the internal reflection of any pilgrimage.
Absolutely. We all, the medieval peoples were right. We need, and Muslim people today and people of many faiths and no faiths are right in that pilgrimages can take one right outside the architecture of one's ordinary day-to-day life and put one in a much deeper place that perhaps only death and loss puts us into, but then it's such an maudlin place. And then we get back to the to the buzz of our surface lives. And there's something about pilgrimages that the soldier thought and wanted us to have, and people do have. And in The Path to Peace, the book published by Atlantic last week, I talk all about this. I mean, how it was created, why such walks are essential for renewal of all of us in our mission in life, how delightful it is, how beautiful this walk is. It's extraordinary. So it's through mountains and places, it's through valleys, it's along the side of extraordinary rivers like the Moselle and the Meuse, the Meuse. And it's just, it's through vineyards, through champagne, through the beautiful Alsatian wines, it's through hop fields, it's amazing, it's there, and it's growing. It's called the Western Front Way. Verdun, the northern French town, didn't want us to use the word voie, via sacra, because it's too close to their own beloved voie sacrée, their own sacred road, as it was called in 1916, to keep Verdun alive. So we've gone for the way, Western Front Way. Western Front is known in every language. So it is, it's pretty much a lingua franca, the name. The Western Front Way website is where everyone can find out more about it. And it worked for me, and it will work for others, and is working for thousands who are beginning to pick up their bikes and their walking shoes and discover it, and renewing connection also with those amazing cemeteries all the way along, which are not gloomy, they're uplifting.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, and I have people saying, oh, well, you know, it was 100 years ago, the First World War, and you know, history teaches us nothing, and we should just let it lie. But when you walk something like this, you realize that scratch the surface, and you are but a blink away from 100 years ago. There are still remnants of the trench systems. There are still casings to be found. The trench, you know, as I said before, you know, you can still find the fortifications that were put in. And just the mention of a name like Verdun and the in Moselle, and you think of the slaughter that went on there.
Absolutely. They're all there, and as you say, you can still see shells thrown up. There are an estimated 10 million, maybe 50 million shells still under the ground. There are trenches, sometimes preserved, sometimes you just see them in the woods. So lots of areas where it's just been too expensive to clear out the shells. So there are woods and there are areas you can no longer go into, the so-called red areas. And it's all there. I mean, it's astonishing for those who maybe just pass over the First World War without really seeing it. It's amazing once you get out of the car or off the train or bus, how much you do see, as people find with the Camino. The world looks very different when you're on foot. When you're on foot, you're walking as human beings have for centuries, millennia. And we all learn from history. History doesn't teach us nothing. History teaches us everything.
And I suppose the other thing is the fact that what is even more poignant about the fact of this walk is that the men and the women who served, who fought in the case of the men, the women who were nurses, ambulance drivers, whatever, after the war, it was, apart from the acts of remembrance, like the cemeteries and the cenotaph, etc., but it was expected that life would go on as normal. It was almost to be hushed up. And it's only recently that we've had, if you like, a reappraisal, a more sympathetic reappraisal to the memories of those who fought and fell.
Yeah, I think that happens. I mean, I'm sure that will probably happen in the Ukraine when the war does eventually end, sooner rather than later, obviously, we hope. The Ukrainians won't want to be reminded of it. They're not going to want to have, museums and visitors. They'll want to go through quite a long period where they can mourn their loss, but they can build back their businesses and get back to life again. And then after that will come a period, in all likelihood, where they then start reappraising that and can view the past in a different light, where they no longer want to suppress it. Memories can be like that. We often want to suppress painful memories at the time, but then from a safer distance, we can then come out and re-examine.
So much for the, if you like, the highfalutin, but the boots on the ground situation. What was it actually like? I mean, we're talking blisters. Did you have to go? I mean, how was your training program ahead of this? And the wildlife and the domestic animals must have been, the farm animals and the dogs must have been quite interesting as well, Anthony.
When I said rubbish there, that wasn't a comment on the quality of your question, but it was a comment on my training. I mean, lots of people I love walking, but it's a different proposition when you're walking 35 days without a break, day after day, 30 kilometers. I mean, 30 kilometers in one day is not incredibly difficult, but when you do it day after day and your feet have no time to recover. And I learned a lot. I mean, I was very foolish. I was also walking in the middle of COVID. I had no plan B. If I caught COVID, I don't know what I'd have done. And it meant that lots of places to stay and shops along the route and cafes were closed because of COVID. That made it more difficult. But I mean, I've learned a lot, and I want to walk now to walk all the way from kilometer zero to Auschwitz, which is another 1,000 kilometer. And I will have learned a lot, not least how important it is to look after your feet and to take your feet really seriously. Because once the blisters start, they're very hard to deal with. I did have 4 visits to accident and emergency, bitten by a dog, suspected rabies, the hospital were concerned about, and heat exhaustion, which is something else. When you don't want to carry lots of water, carrying water is very heavy, even a lot of water. So you reckon that you're going, there'll be places you can buy water or farms you can go to and get water, but in places there weren't. And I was completely stuck out, and then the blisters can turn nasty, and there's a risk that they can become infected. So you have you have to do a lot more serious reading before it. I mean, I knew about all the history, and I thought somehow that would get me through, but it doesn't. So I learned. I'm wiser, I hope, as a result of it.
And as I said before, there is a There is another aspect to this, and the press notes that say, you know, without a permanent home or a wife or a job and no serious, and this is I'm reading directly here. I'm not just making assumptions, I see, and no clear sense of where your life was going. And presumably after this experience on several levels, apart from obviously, getting your feet into good order, this time was important and perhaps refocused you.
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, you know, everyone's life goes through phases. I think everybody who's coming up to retirement age, listening to this or anticipating it, will recognize that's a major transition. I wasn't ready to stop working. I've been running a university, but I had so much more left inside me. And when you run institutions like those, you have your own place to live tied with the job, had done for 25 years. So, you know, that was a bit of a shock trying to work out where to live. And my wife had died of cancer 5 years before. So that was, that's a huge, you know, blow, totally life changing. And, and after 5 years, I met somebody and remarried them or married them, and talk about that in the book, and talk about what I'm now doing to try and build more peace in the world and so on. So, I mean, I was trying to model for everybody that sense of how a long walk can put one back in touch with whatever issues people have, they might have in their lives. It can help ground you and to make these things more thoughtful and considered.
How difficult is it to actually write about the experience? Because, you know, it might sound, writing about a walk is a doddle, but you have to make it interesting. You can't say, you know, well, on this day I walked 30 kilometers, the sun came up, it was very beautiful, I saw a trench system. Because otherwise you could end up saying basically the same thing again and again and again. So how difficult was it to sort of, if you like, frame the narrative?
Well, that's so I think that walks are inherently interesting, and that's the whole genre of travel writing, because there's a journey and people like a journey. They like a book that has a clear sense of direction. And also when you are journeying, what you're going to be going through will be of itself interesting to illuminate that to the reader. And of course, on this journey, there were amazing things to see. And I was often reflecting on, say, my feet hurt. And that was, I would then talk about what the soldiers had to wear on their feet. I had toothache, and I talked about the terrible pain that that the soldiers had with their teeth, often teeth being pulled out. I saw horses, and at coincidentally the same time that Michael Morpurgo, famous British writer, was in touch, who wrote a book called War Horse that became a film. And so I was then reflecting on and writing about the experience, the dreadful experience of horses and animals in the war. So I'm trying to fill it all the time with variety and stimulus. And give people an unfolding sense of drama. But I mean, what I normally write about is about prime ministers. I'm writing a book on Boris Johnson at the moment. I've written books on the last six prime ministers. And I write about that and about the psychology of happiness and well-being. This is my first walking book, but I'll have to leave it to your listeners to judge. Have I held their interest? I couldn't presume to say that. I mean, I love writing it. It was huge fun to write.
One could almost do, if you like, the never mind the walk you've just done. You could do the trust trail, where you walk for 40 or 45. You could walk the number of days that she was in office, for example. That would be quite an interesting book, perhaps.
Yes. She was in office for almost the same number of days I walked.
Indeed.
I mean, that's obviously a tragedy for the country and for Britain. And the new prime minister was talking at the G7 about the damage that's done to Britain's standing in the world. And £30 billion lost revenue because of it. But also, I think, you know, on a human level, there are only human beings, prime ministers. And for her, I can only imagine the grief that she'll be going through and distress. And I think the moment we lose sight that our leaders are human beings, they can often, of course, lose sight of that themselves, as I write about, and they can think that they're somehow superhuman. They ain't. They're just ordinary people. And the best leaders have that sense of humility about them.
Gillespie was killed in the conflict, and so there must be something especially poignant about finishing this walk, because this was his dream, this was his vision, this was, you know, what he wanted to be his legacy. And, you know, a young man lives his life on the Western Front, and over 100 years later, you complete that sacred walk.
Yeah, so I was walking. I had his diary, and he was, it was, I could just feel, and quoting his diary, as he was walking and fighting day by day closer to his death, and I was trying to get closer to his life and to understand him, but to be where he was and to see what he saw and to experience some of that was part of the whole journey, and why I think it is a remarkable odyssey, and reliving his last minutes on earth and trying to understand what was going through his head as he left his trench and he had Pilgrim's Progress that he'd just read. We know that. We know a lot about him. I mean, it was an extraordinary life. And as he waited on just by the German sandbags, when every single person he'd advanced with had fallen, and why he didn't turn back at that point, as 2 weeks before he had. He'd just gone out on just for a scramble in no man's land and snipped off some German wire and crawled back on his stomach back into the British trenches. Why did he not do that? Why did he? Anyway, you have to read the story to find out.
Indeed. The book is called The Path of Peace, Walking the Western Front Way. It's by Anthony Seldon, who we've been speaking to today. Anthony, is there a website? Can people track you down online, or we just order the book via our own virtual bookstore?
Or indeed local bookstores, if they have them. Indeed. And all the profits from the book go to the Western Front Way. It's been incredibly well reviewed, I'm told, by publishers in the UK so far, and very widely reviewed, as I'm sure you know. It's a great book to read to inspire you to think about your lives and think about the lives of your families. And so many listening will have had families who fought on one side or the other. This is not about sides, it's about us together, and it's about us together learning to live better and to live deeper and to live wiser.
The book is called The Path of Peace, Walking the Western Front Way. It's by Anthony Seldon, who's been speaking to you today. Anthony, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it's been brilliant to have me on. Thank you so much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.